Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online. I'm Rachel, and on the line with me I have Emily. And today we are talking about the fourth episode. Yes, fourth episode of Once Upon a Time, titled The Strange Case. And I'm very sad with how this ended. I was not ready for this story to be over. How are you feeling about that?
It was definitely a shock. I know last week we said it's hard to kind of surprise us, it seems, recently.
But they done did it this week.
like I said, they're predictable in a way, but then they always find some way to throw something in your face that you're totally not expecting at all. And yeah, this one was a big one, and I kind of, like, I think I gasped out loud because I was
pissed.
I was
pissed. Like, I was fine with Jekyll dying because he was going crazy pants. But then we got, first this whole episode made us sympathetic with Hyde. And then they kill Jekyll and then Hyde dies. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, I was already kind of sympathetic towards Hyde to begin with because I just like villains. But then they went and killed him literally 2 seconds later. And I was just like, okay, this is not okay.
Yeah, I've always been, like, since they introduced him, you know, obviously I always thought, oh, there's obviously more to this than what we think, of course, because there always is. But with this one, I really thought, like, there was going to be a lot deeper roots than what there were. Like, I guess they boiled it down to Rumpel screwed over Jekyll and Hyde both, you know, because they're the same person. And so then Hyde wanted revenge on Rumpel, and then Jekyll was, like, going crazy over the fact that he was the reason his love died, but he blames it on Hyde because, you know, he's a blame shifter, like all people who deny that they have evil inside of them.
Yes.
Just saying. At least a lot of the times that happens. That's what happens when people are evil and they don't want to admit it. They shift the blame and try and split themselves in two to make themselves feel better. but, you know, subtle.
Hey.
But yeah, so I was really surprised over the fact that they kind of just, like, wrapped that whole storyline up, because at end of last season, you would have thought, well, they're going to play such a big part in this season, especially knowing that they weren't going to do, like, an 11-episode little bundle. Like, I really thought he was going to be around for a long time. So I guess it just threw me through a loop that they killed
him. I'm very mad because I love Sam. I thought he was doing an amazing job, and I was ready for more. I wanted more flashbacks, and really, he was not the villain at all in this story.
Yeah, all he really did was bring back, he just brought people over from another world, and he was like, I want their stories to play out, because that's all he wanted. He wanted, well, his story, there wasn't really a way for it to play out, because his story playing out would have meant being with the person that they loved, and she's gone. So, he wanted other people's stories to play out, and then I guess it was at the expense of other people's happiness, so I guess that makes him kind of the villain. But yeah, he's not, like, he was the smokescreen for, like, the bigger agenda, clearly. Like, that's just what he was there for.
Yeah.
Kind of knew once they started focusing on this whole Emma and the Savior and this whole, like, she's gonna die thing and who's under this hood, like, I kind of figured that this whole Hyde situation wasn't, like, they were going to find a way to...
But see, he implied that he knew about it, and he knew the Savior's tale and the end of the story, and then true. He was talking about how his friend, the Oracle or whatever, so I was expecting him to be, like, Jafar's second in command, yeah.
True.
So I'm wondering if he'll come back in flashbacks?
I guess, like, there's no way for us to know right now unless, I don't know, I haven't looked in IMDb to see how many episodes he's, like.
Yeah.
But I guess there's still a chance that he will stick around in flashbacks where, you know, like, Aladdin and Jasmine are coming in next week And obviously, if he knew about this oracle chick, then he somehow had to have known Jafar, probably.
I'm definitely convinced now that the oracle is Jafar.
Or at least being manipulated by Jafar in some way.
I don't know, because they zoomed in, her first shot was the staff.
Yeah, which to me screams, that's Jafar in disguise.
Yeah, that's about as subtle as a brick to the face. Like most things on this show.
Yeah. So true. But yeah, definitely the hide thing, I really guess I was expecting more, but I guess there's still, ways we can get answers from him if he is somehow connected in other flashbacks somehow, because there's still all these other untold stories supposedly that are going to play out, so I'm sure maybe they'll
have some. And he was kind of like the warden of untold storyland, right?
At least for the mental hospital or whatever, wherever they were. I think it was a mental hospital. Yes?
Sure.
So I'm sure he's familiar with a lot of the, and he handpicked all the people that came with him in some way.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like his story is not done, and if they leave it like this, I'm gonna be pissed.
Definitely. But yeah, I agree that Jackal definitely went cuckoo crazy, and Hook he didn't stab him, really. He shoved him back, and then
Hook kicked him. He roundhoused his ass.
He kicked him
into backwards. A harpoon.
He kicked him backwards. Whether or not he was intending to impale him, that's, to be determined. Because it was mostly, at that point, it was he was defending Belle and trying to...
Yeah, honestly, I don't think Killian's gonna really regret that or, have any, remorse for that because he was protecting Belle. And he shouldn't have remorse for that. He was cuckoo and trying to kill her and the baby. So,
Yeah. Yeah, it was just weird. It was interesting because, he had his sword out and then all of a sudden he's impaled from behind. I was okay. And then it's
That's one of the most graphic things too I think they've really done on this show.
Yeah. Because normally when stuff like that happens, there's some form of cutaway or when Hook got his hand cut off,
there was no blood really.
Yeah.
It was a tiny little bit, but. What would actually occur if you were had your hand cut off.
I would say that's up there with them showing a sword literally going straight through Dark Hook.
Yeah.
So they're pushing the envelope in terms of the gruesome factor, I guess, lately. But
I mean, I watch American Horror Story and Outlander. So when you go, I just always think it's funny. When it's more family-esque shows that have, that do have violent scenes, because it's always so tame and and then you go and watch The Walking Dead or American Horror Story or something, and it's just I don't know, I just always find it funny. I'm this isn't accurate at all.
There should be more blood.
More blood. So I'm definitely not for Rumpel anymore, and I mean, not that I ever really was again, but it was tempting for I was tempted by the darkness for a little bit, but I was pulled in by the Beauty and the Beast, because I'm Beauty and the Beast trash. That's really what it was. But oh my god, super credits to Belle, because she's finally living up to the Belle I wanted in the very first place. And
yes.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so happy this is happening.
I am as well. I feel like when she stood up to him, I was finally, this, and I could tell that this time it's actually going to stick. Last time when she did, because I remember back in season 4, yes, when she banished him from Storybrooke and we all were cheering and I was just yes, girl, do it. And then she totally rescinded on everything the second he came back. I was very just disappointed in that just lapse of judgment. But I understand, obviously. But this time I'm okay, there is no way in the world in any, if they somehow find a way to, like, bring them back together to a point where either she just forgives him blindly again, I wouldn't believe it at this point, because
no,
this time she was serious. Her voice, her face, everything, like, the disdain was real.
Yeah, she doesn't fall for his tricks anymore and his nice words. And
just, I think it's because she's always trying to protect other people, and she's not very good at protecting herself. So she always was willing to let him kind of push her around because she was the only one affected by it. But now she has, like, a child that who will be affected by it. She's not going to let it happen anymore, which I think is good for her. Sad that it took her needing, you know, someone else to protect to inspire the, you know, strength of her convictions, but I, at least hopefully this time it will stick for good.
Yeah, there's just no way you can put them back together without destroying Belle as a character. Because it's
almost done in the past. So yeah. She's one thread away from being just completely lost in terms of the wishy-washy back and forth, whatever, redeemed, now he's not redeemed, I forgive you, I love you, no I don't, I want you to leave, kind of thing. Which, understandable, because it shows it's, like, true to life when people are in, like, manipulative relationships, which is basically what this has become.
It's, like, basically dating someone with a drug addiction. Get out of.
Yeah. It's obviously hard for people to get out of things like that, and it's definitely not, I guess it's good that they're showing in a way that, you know, regardless, you know, back and however many times you go back and forth, things won't change. So hopefully it gives people something to look at and say, oh, you know, this, if they can relate to it and hopefully find strength from it, then that's good. But I just think now more than ever, she is standing her ground for good, because now she's realized she has other people to rely on. Because I think before, she always, you know, no pun intended, but she, like, felt locked away from everybody else relationship-wise. She wasn't very close with any of the other people in town except for, like, when they needed her book skills. So yeah. I feel like now she finally has, like, legitimate relationships with people. So
can we talk about that for a second? Captain Book all the way. Like, this is, like, the new Captain Charming for me, obviously not Captain Charming, but, you know.
Because you could ever replace Captain Charming. Yes. But anyways.
But the whole entire Captain Book that we got was amazing. And the fact that Killian offered a pregnant woman booze. Maybe we could always crack open. No, not, like, a bottle of rum. No. A barrel of rum.
That's how serious the situation is when he offers up a barrel of rum.
So yeah, not a bottle, but a barrel of rum. And the fact that, like, if it makes sense though, because if you think about it, in that time, I don't know if it's supposed to be like old, like, honest, I always take it as like medieval times. So in my mind,
I always picture more of like 1700s, 1800s. Well, I guess it depends on which characters you're talking about.
Yeah, regardless, they don't know about alcohol and babies. This is my point.
True.
So I kind of like, that's how I took that. He's like, oh yeah, that's bad.
His face, though.
He was so excited to have a drinking buddy, and then he's like, damn it.
Just the progression of his face when he got really excited. And he kind of made a joke, and he thought he was so clever, and he kind of was, like, patting himself on the back mentally for her, like, trying to cheer her up. And then his face just kind of went, oh, yeah, that's right. Anyway, it was just perfect. I loved that. That was probably one of my favorite things that happened in the episode, was just their whole interaction in general. And then that, more specifically, was just a funny little one-liner they threw in there, and yeah. I appreciated it, because it showed how close, you know, they are as friends now that they can joke around. And
I mean, they're basically roommates, so
I mean, they really are. Also, the fact, let's not, can't even forget, we're talking about Bell and Hook being friends, the fact that he had all of his stuff packed up in one little trunk to move off of the Jolly Roger, and she brings up the fact that that's all he has, and all you can think of is the fact that when
Emma has her own little box.
She has one little box of stuff that means something to her, and that's it, and it's perfect. Kindred souls, soulmates, obviously.
Orphans don't have that. They don't have a lot of stuff. And he didn't have a lot of stuff when he was little because he was literally a slave. And
it's fine. It's fine. I'm okay about it. Not really, because
I'm a mess.
I'm
not okay
when it comes to Captain Swan. But that particular parallel just really, really struck a chord.
And the way he said it, like, that obviously was, like, not really the reason. He was like, oh, well, you know, sea life.
Sea life, a.k.a. literally I've lived in a boat my entire life.
A.k.a. I have no home.
Which, this will really be the first time he is going to live not on a boat. Except for when he gave up his ship and he lived in Granny's. Basically, so yeah, the last 6 months are the only time
he's never had, like, a place to call his either, other than a boat. But, I mean, the Jolly Roger was his home, so...
Yes.
And I think it always still will be a part of him, and a part of his, like, home. But I think it's more of, like, a home of the past, in a way.
Yeah.
Like...
He's not going to go...
Captain Hook persona.
Yeah. He's not going to, at the end of the day, he's not going to want to go kick his boots up on the Jolly Roger. He's going to want to go home to Emma.
Yeah. Or, oh, that can be when they go when they get in, like, little petty fights, like...
That's
him keeps stealing... That's...
Sleeping on the couch. He's sleeping in the Jolly Roger.
Yes.
I'm sure the harbor's not too far if she can see the water from her window.
Exactly.
Don't remind me of that. I forgot about that.
Perfection.
Babes. Which we did not get any of. They literally did not have any...
Support. I know! They didn't interact once.
Not at all. I did love the charming family. Now, were they in Emma's? They were in Emma's house, right?
They were, and I was very confused at first, and I thought, did the loft get a makeover? And then I thought, no, they're in Emma's house, because then Emma goes, you can come over and make breakfast anytime you want. And I thought, really, though, anytime?
Anytime.
Your dad is going to appreciate unless she's like baiting him because she wants him to walk in on them because scarred for life from this situation.
Please.
Which I just want that more than anything in the world. Like, that's number one on my wish list.
Reverse, yes.
Like, if they're going to show them in bed at all, if that's the only way they're going to show it, I would be fine with it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time we've ever seen really someone charming in bed, like in a compromising position, was that time. You know, they've been, like, sitting next to each other in bed plenty of times. But that was the only time they were really in, like, a compromising position. So if that's the only way we're ever going to see Hook and Emma in a compromising position again, I think I could live with that. Because the look on Charming's face would be worth it forever and ever.
It really would. And, you know, Killian would make the most smug joke. And, like, just all the jokes.
All
and one-liners.
And he would... Yeah, he'd probably bring it up again. So embarrassed that he wouldn't ever talk to him again. I can't tell which...
I feel like he would bring it up to aggravate Dave, and then...
Yes.
Dave would just get
aggravated. Would be the one who tries to avoid the subject, and Killian would be the one who sits and tries to bring it up whenever he can.
Yeah.
Also, the look, just the whole protective... God... I will say it a million times how much I love Emma and Charming's relationship and just everything about Charming. I love him so much. He was my number one baby, you know, before Hook ever came into the picture. So I always love him. And it's just every time he gets like hands on the hips and all sassy or protective.
And Neil is finally getting older.
Oh, I didn't even realize that because I was so enamored by the fact that Emma was like having this little breakfast chat with her dad and how he was being super protective and crying over the fact that his baby girl was growing up and all this stuff, and I got really invested in that.
It's so funny though, because like
they never got, like, Emma, like, as a kid and then moving out. So, like, this is it for them.
Yeah. They had their little, you know, prom first date experience with her going on a date with him. And now they've got to watch her, like, fall in love with him. And now they're letting her fly free. It's just, yep, I like it. I'm here for it. I really like this whole charming family dynamic. And yes. The fact that Charming knows how to make pancakes.
And those are some perfect pancakes. Like, I wish I could make pancakes like
Charming
that.
Is definitely the domestic one of the two of them.
Poor he Char- really is.
He's always cooking. And when he puts a towel over his shoulder, I just... It's probably because I'm not domestic at all. So seeing Charming being super domestic and, you know, throwing his little towel over his shoulder and cooking and cleaning all the time... And, like, it just makes me really excited because I want that. And if Hook
I need
somehow...
This thing, like, oh, my God. Don't even talk about me. Shut up. I can't think about that. I cannot think about domestic Hook.
Charming. I'm here for it forever and always. Amen.
Obviously, I'd be here for domestic Hook, but I can't think about that right now. So we have more things to talk about in this episode. Such as Snow being a badass again.
True.
And I really actually am kind of glad because Mary Margaret was not, like, it's not Snow. And the yeah. fact that she went back to her roots to help teach these kids, I just felt like that says a lot. Just like she's asked to be called Snow White. Instead of Mary Margaret.
Yep. Obviously, because Mary Margaret was, like, she was designed to be weak. And not strong, and everything that is the opposite of Snow. And obviously, Charming's whole, like, we are both thing, you know, applies. But I think along the way of trying to find, like, domestic, you know, happiness and just a normal life, Snow lost sight of that. And then obviously last season we saw her kind of reclaim it when she said, I want to be Snow White. I don't want to be Mary Margaret anymore. Which I feel like that was a big deal for her, obviously, because... She was, like, clinging to this other life that, you know, if the curse hadn't existed, it would have been carefree and fine. So she saw that as, like, the life that she wanted to live. And now she's living the life she was born to live, I guess. So, I liked how she tried doing things the Mary Margaret way and they didn't work out. And then she resorted to doing things the Snow White way. Which, I don't know if handing a bow and arrow to, like, middle schoolers is the best thing, but...
And why are they still in her class? Does she move with them as a teacher? Is it one of those schools where...
This class was special. I think Mary Margaret's class has been assigned to someone else. This class was all people from the Land of Untold Stories.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what... I don't know what
Well, no, because she's like, they don't remember anything I taught them.
Well, she was talking about the fact that she taught them a lesson, they took a quiz, and they all failed.
Oh, okay. I thought she meant, like, back in season one. I'm like, why are they still in your class?
No, because Jasmine, I don't know what her, I can't remember her curse, not curse name, or Land of Untold Stories name, or whatever you
want
to call it.
I don't even want to
try. So, Jasmine, for all intents and purposes, she mentioned something about how these kids, you know, were a special group of kids from the Land of Untold Stories. And how, you know, obviously their lives have been paused for who knows how long. They don't want to focus on school. I think that's why she said that. Like, she was frustrated that she taught them a lesson in class and then they didn't comprehend any of it.
Yeah.
So she had to find a new way to teach it so that they would understand.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to know why they zoomed in on that one kid in the straw hat. Like, is that supposed to be Tom Sawyer or something? Who was that? That was obviously intentional.
True.
So he's the only kid wearing a straw hat.
He's the only kid in a straw hat.
Which would not be allowed in class.
True. You can't wear hats in school.
Let alone a straw hat. And it looks like they all had uniforms.
Especially if they're wearing uniforms.
Which I don't know why they have uniforms now.
It's not even a... private school. Actually, so we don't really know if it was or not. Maybe
they didn't
it is
have uniform. Private. Henry didn't have to wear a uniform in whatever.
Oh, and when he was all doom and gloom, not doing his homework, he was, like, wearing his scarf and his
coat.
Yeah. Though I guess we didn't see really what he was wearing underneath, just the coat and the scarf, so he could have been underneath his wearing uniform.
No, because we've seen stuff at the school before, and no one ever really had uniforms like that. I don't know, maybe they just decided to put them in uniforms for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, in season one, they definitely all wore uniforms. That was the thing. Like, all the Storybrooke school kids were all dressed the same.
Were they?
In their little, yeah, in their little
sweater. Oh, yeah, because Grace had the, okay, yeah, you are, sweater yeah. Vest
jumper. So yeah, they definitely have uniforms, whether or not Henry was wearing them.
Henry's a rebel.
Rebel. I mean, he just ditched school for who knows how long to go on these, like, adventures, so he's not exactly a model student.
And he has a girlfriend now, officially. Well, yes, I mean, actually, we don't know if it's official, but they back in the hallways.
They were kissing and holding hands in the hallways, and they're, what, 14? So I think it's some official.
Flashbacks.
Rachel's having some fond middle school memories.
No, I'm having annoying memories of when the couples would, like, make out where my locker was. Like,
yes!
They would never see each other again. I'm like, literally, it's like 50 minutes. I think you guys will live.
Like, tip, Henry and Violet, don't make out in front of people's lockers and you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Or at least move when I ask you to.
True.
But yeah, I wanted to see them go on a date. I want to see Henry take her on a date.
True. Because their last date didn't exactly go very well.
No, it did not. It did not go
well.
The fact that Violet got over that, I mean, should just say something right there.
True. I think it'd be cute to have Henry go on a date and he's at home with Killian and Emma and, you know, Regina's probably there too, and they all just are like the same way that Snow and Charming were fawning over.
You know what, like, I need? That. I need, like, a homecoming and everybody's a chaperone.
A school dance.
Chaperone. Yes. I need Hook to be a chaperone.
So I think every week we need to make a list of all the domestic things we want to see, aside from the fairy tale villain fighting. And I definitely think a school dance is on the list.
Yep. And everybody's chaperones.
Hook being chaperones is definitely on the list. And Snow and Charming too, because I think that would be funny.
Yeah. Oh, no. The entire Charming family squad.
Charming would break out their rulers. He would say, leave some room, kids.
And Emma and Hook would only agree to go because they want to spy on Henry and Violet.
True.
And Mary Margaret would be the one to hand out punch.
True. This is true. So yeah, Storybrooke homecoming dance or just turnabout dance or Sadie Hawkins dance or something.
Something.
Just anything. You know, they could call it a ball for all they want.
This is a great opportunity.
Yes, they could throw a ball in, like, the gym.
Yes. It needs to happen. Adam and Eddie.
I'm going to write them a letter right now.
Get on it.
Get on it.
Because it needs to happen. One of the big things we also found out is that if they wanted the Evil Queen to die, Regina has to die.
Dun, dun, dun.
Obviously, it's probably not going to happen. They'll find some special loophole, like they always do.
Of course. Especially because of the fact that Regina asked Emma to do the same thing that Emma asked of her in Camelot, and do what is necessary to protect everyone else. So, if for some reason the time comes, she has to kill Regina, which may or may not tie into this whole...
Honestly, it's starting to make me think it's going to be Regina under the cloak.
I think it's going to plant a seed in Emma's head, too, because now she's going to wonder, well, if the only way to defeat the Evil Queen is to kill Regina, then I'm going to end up fighting Regina at some point. I feel like that's just going to plant the seed about maybe in her mind. Do you notice how she never actually said yes, or, well, she did, but she didn't, like, say...
She nodded, but it wasn't...
She nodded and said, yeah, I promise, but it wasn't, like, a solid compromise. It seemed very...
Like, sure, whatever you want, like...
It was obviously reluctant, because she's gonna find a different way out, but I also thought it was interesting that she kind of held back in terms of what she was agreeing to, because she probably, in the back of her mind, is thinking about the fact that she's so concerned that Regina's going to come and try and kill her. So.
Ooh, or she thinks she's not going to be around long enough.
To protect her? Yeah, that too. The wheels are always turning.
Yes. Rumpel also got a haircut.
Well, Okay, so I know Robert Carlyle in real life cut his hair. Why, if they had him in a wig for, like, 3 weeks, why couldn't they just have him in a wig the rest of the season? I mean, I get the
Maybe he got annoyed.
Well, true. Or the fact that it's a hassle to have to put somebody in a wig every day, and it's easier to see real hair. So, I did...
Plus, Emily already has to have a wig, too.
True.
Which has been looking ratchet lately. Someone please fix this girl's hair!
I was going to say, it did look a little different recently.
Is her hairline, is just the wig line.
Her hair is way shorter now and blonde, so she can't really...
I know she can't, but dear God.
I mean, forgot why she needed a wig, though, for a second. I was like, oh, now I know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole Rumpel, I get the whole, like, metaphor. Like, it was a good way for them to tie it in. Like, he changed his appearance in real life, so they needed to come up with a way. Not as good as just... Dr. Whale saying, if Emma can bleach her hair, why can't that bleach mine? That was more funny.
Only Whale can say that. Like, that's something only Whale can get away from.
The whole Rumpel, you know, I liked Belle's jab at him that he chopped his hair because he was trying to change the face he saw in the mirror, but it's never going to change who he really is. I was like, get him! Just.
It just made me think of that Michael Jackson song, but yeah, I agree.
True. But yeah. So, yeah, no more long hair for Rumpel.
And I'm kind of really happy about it because he looked like a ragamuffin. Not to hate on Bobby's hair, but
true.
The way they styled it and with the suits, it just made him look so much like I don't know, just gave him that like creepy pawn shop owner vibe. But I think we're past the creepy pawn shop owner vibe, so.
Which I guess is what they were going for in the beginning, but yeah, now it's time to move on.
It's been 6 seasons, guys.
Yeah, he hasn't changed his hair in 6 seasons. I think it's time.
It's time.
Now, if we could just petition to get Charming's, like, hero hair back,
then... God, please.
Josh Dallas, if you could please grow your hair out just a little bit more.
Please grow it a little bit back, because it was beautiful in season 3.
Beautiful. I could spend hours talking about people's hair on this show. Probably shouldn't do that.
Like, the hair and the wardrobe is so amazing on this show. And sometimes not, but most of the times it is.
But yes, the hero hair... can make a reappearance any day. I would be more than welcome to it.
I think quite a few people would be more than welcome to the hero hair, because I have heard quite a bit that is a fan favorite.
Fan favorite.
Also, fan favorite of mine is Hook's angsty hair, because Colin got another haircut, if you noticed that. It was a little shorter in the back, I think. Or maybe they styled it differently. I don't know. It just looked a little shorter.
True.
But I love that angst hair. The dark one.
It's a drastic change from, you know, dark one, Hook, long hair, emo in his face.
It was. Because I'm currently rewatching that season 5. So I went from that. And then I watched Broken Heart today. And then I watched the new episode today. And I was like, God, I miss your long, floofy, in-your-face hair. His hair floofed.
It did.
And it would floof and flop, and it was gorgeous.
Anyways, now that we've discussed...
And we've discussed hair for 10 minutes.
The hairstyles of Once Upon a Time.
Which are very important.
We should just start our... We should just have a sub-discussion...
wardrobe and hair.
At a different time, we'll just have a whole episode dedicated to hair.
I mean, you really could with this show. There's been a lot of ups and downs in hair.
True. Like, Emma seems to be rocking the ponytail pretty consistently.
She's in a ponytail
every single episode.
Yeah.
Which I like. I'm like envious of her ability to look so good in a ponytail.
Yeah, I don't do that. I still wear it in a ponytail, but that's just, no. But yeah, I think it ties in with her whole wardrobe change too. Like, she's more comfortable with having it up and not almost like, you know how people who have their hair down sometimes will hide behind their hair and use it as like a shield.
It's another like wall to hide behind.
Yes.
And so Emma used to wear her hair in a ponytail when she was younger and I guess more carefree in a way. So it's kind of a callback to that probably too. And, you know, just functionality when you're fighting evil people.
Yeah.
Your hair, it's not really practical.
And Regina cut her hair as well, but no one said anything about that.
Which I noticed this more so this week than other weeks. I kind of noticed it before, but now I'm understanding that I feel like they're definitely trying to make us feel like it's season one.
Yeah.
Because her hair is way shorter than it's been in the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah, it's definitely season one length again. Maybe a little longer, but...
with the layers and the whole fit, yeah, it's definitely, like, season one style.
And I'm not sure if that was, like, Lana just wanted to cut her hair, or if it was kind of, like, a way to separate her and the Evil Queen more, or to maybe call back to season one to say she could still become the Evil Queen. Or, like, I don't know what the reasoning behind it was, but... whatever. Yeah. You know, everybody's getting some haircuts.
We'll just have to call up Eduardo Castro and the makeup people and the costume people and be like, tell me all of your decisions.
Hair secrets. Who was in charge of cutting hair? But yeah, I think that wraps up everything. Hyde crying broke my heart.
Yes.
Like, literally, like, I was like, this poor guy. Like, I need to hug him. It was so sad, and Sam did such an amazing job, and so did, oh my god, I can't remember his name. I'm blanking. Who plays Jekyll?
I'm blanking too. I'm terrible with names.
I only know Sam because being human.
True.
But yeah, they both did an amazing job, and I'm sad that we have already said goodbye to their characters, and I'm really hoping we get them in some
flashbacks. Hoping it's not the last time we see them. So, because I'm sure the whole serum thing, they're going to come back into play somehow, because they're going to be trying to figure out this whole evil split-off person and finding another way. So hopefully they come back in somehow, in some way.
Please. Please come back. Also, shout out to, can't remember her name either, but played Mary. Because she is from The Vampire Diaries.
True.
So, yeah, I thought she was going to be around longer, but no.
But no.
Honestly, really just... when they said her name was Mary, my mind automatically went to Frankenstein, because Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, and that's like, I don't know why. But that's, like, the Mary that my mind went to.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she stole Rose's dress from Titanic, but, you know, that's okay.
But, you know, it's fine.
It's fine. She looks great. I really wanted more flashbacks with them.
Yeah, it's surprising that we only got one.
Yeah. And the fact that Rumpel did all that because he was getting feelings for Belle. Like, are you kidding me? I'm sorry. I feel like that was quite a cop-out to have Rumpel involved with that. Half
because he had feelings for someone. I guess it was his way of, like, ripping out his own heart, like Cora did.
Why wouldn't he just do that and save everybody some time?
I feel like being the Dark One, probably, there's probably some loophole or something. Who knows?
True. I guess you can't really leave your heart lying around.
True, especially when you're the Dark One.
Yeah.
I feel like it probably was he reacted in the same way that Cora did when she started falling for him, was the only way to nip it in the butt, because love is weakness, is to remove it completely. Then what's he gonna do? Kill the normal part of himself and just be the bad part?
These people take things to the next level when it comes to not wanting to feel.
Always taking extreme measures to not feel feelings. Just like, feel the feelings.
Everyone thought Elsa was dramatic. No. Y'all need to watch Once Upon a Time.
For real.
So, but yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No. It'll be interesting to finally see this Aladdin thing come into play, and this whole savior dynamic that they're supposedly gonna that's gonna come with it. So next week should be interesting.
Yes, I am excited to see what they do here. So, all right, guys, be sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are on thevro.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Audio Boom, and iTunes. And we will see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.